Chazar is zeichen nishul b'achi cheskos shagim v'vam Yehudim sechel sukkah daf mem aleph. Rashi said the machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan is only regarding transferring the kedusha from the original shemitah produce. However, all would agree that once we're dealing with the object that itself only received the kedusha via a transfer, that the kedusha can be transferred further by purchase transaction or by just a verbal transfer. Although the braisa that was brought earlier as a proof to Rabbi Elazar seemed to say that each step of the transfer was done through a purchase, that was only said that way to be consistent with the case of the transfer from the original shemitah produce. Ravina asked Ravashi, a braisa suggests that even the transfer of kedusha from money, which has shemitah status, which itself obviously is transferred, it's only a transfer to kedusha, also has to be done through a purchase transaction. So Rav Ashi said, and for the Gemara, Rav Ashi must have meant that the machloikis is only with regard to a transfer other than from the original fruit. However, all would agree that the transfer of kedusha from the original fruit must be done via a purchase transaction. All the rice that was brought earlier as a proof to Rabbi Yechanan seemed to say that shemitah produce may be transferred with a verbal chilul. The rice was actually referring to the money that itself had transferred to kedusha, not the original produce itself. Zok, the mission of times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Arab meeting were taken for all 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash and only one day outside of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai instituted that the Arab meeting should be taken for all 7 days in all places as a Zechel HaMikdash. He also instituted that the new produce, the Chadash, should not be eaten the entire day of the 16th of Nisan. In fact, Gemara, from where did we learn that we're supposed to make a Zechel HaChorban? Rabbi Yochanan said the Pasuk says that the Goyim denigrated Tzion by saying that there is no one who yearns for it. From here we see that it's proper to yearn for it by creating is Zeichel HaMikdash. Mishnah said, V'sheyehei Yoyim Hanef. Why did he institute that the entire 16th of Nisan should be also to eat the Chadash? Gemara says the concern is that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, and one will actually need to wait for the bringing of the Oymer to begin eating the Chadash, he will not wait. He'll think, last year, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, he was allowed to eat the Chadash on the morning of the 16th. There should be no change this year. He won't realize that the significant difference between the 2 years is that now he has to actually wait for the carbon, so he can't do it immediately in the morning. By requiring one to wait until after the day of the 16th, he's assured that no one will eat Chadash before the bringing of the Oymer. In fact, Gemara, when would the Beis HaMikdash have to be built? Have to be rebuilt to validate this concern. If it's built during the day of the 16th, then he was already allowed to eat at sunrise of the 16th. There's no concern. If it's rebuilt on the 15th, then he should have only instituted that one may not eat until Chatzais, because we've learned that one who's not in Yerushalayim may eat Chodesh at Chatzais on the 16th, even in time of the Beis HaMikdash, because we can presume that the carbon was already brought at by Chatzais. And for the Gemara, the concern is for the possibility of the Beis HaMikdash being rebuilt on the night going into the 16th, or right before that night, in which case the Omer may be delayed in being brought due to the short amount of time of preparation. In which case, the Omer may not be brought before Chatzos. Therefore, he said the entire day it should not be eaten. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said the reason for the view of Reichenau and Zakkai is that he holds like a Yehuda, that eating Chodesh on the 16th is actually also deraisa based on the pasuk of Ad Etzem Hayoyim Hazeh. In fact, Gemara, we find that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai and Rabbi Yehuda argue about this in a braisa. How can we say that they share the same view? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda was mistaken into thinking that Rabbi Yochanan meant that the prohibition of eating Chodesh on the 16th was only derabbanan, which is why he argued. However, in truth, Rabbi Yochanan actually held that it's also deraisa. In fact, Gemara, the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yochanan instituted, which means it's not a deraisa. And for the Gemara, the Mishnah means that he dashed into the pasuk and instituted that people should follow the halacha that he felt was a deraisa. Zok the Mishnah, if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, the people bring their Arbaminim to Shul before Shabbos. They then get to Shul early on Shabbos and find their own set of Arbaminim, since one is not Yoytze with someone else's Arbaminim on the first day. Only on the other days of Sukkot could you be Yoytze with someone else's Lulav and Esrog. Rabbi Yossi says, if the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos and someone mistakenly carries his Lulav and the Rishus HaRabim, will be Potter because the mistake happened due to his being preoccupied with another mitzvah. For the Gemara, how do we know that one must use his own lulav on the first day of Sukkot? And for the Gemara, Braisa says the pasuk of Lukachtem teaches that the chiyuv is on every individual to take a lulav. The pasuk of Lachem teaches that it must belong to the person, which teaches that you can't be yoytze with a borrowed lulav on the first day of Sukkot unless the owner gave it to him as a gift. The Braisa says a number of Tanaim were once traveling on a boat, and Onir and Gamliel had a set of Arbaminim, which he had purchased for 1,000 zuz. He used it to be yoytze to the mitzvah, and then he gave it as a present to Rabbi Yeshua. He used it to be yoytze, and then he gave it as a present to Rabbi Elazar ben Uzziah, who was yoytze, and then he gave it as to Rabbi Akiva as a present, who used it and was yoytze as well. He did. Finally, they went and they gave it back to Rabbi Gamliel after they were all done. In fact, why is it important for the Braisa to say that it was returned to Rabbi Gamliel at the end? Merced is teaching us that if someone gives a matana amnas lahagzer, it's considered to be a full-fledged matana, and the recipient is the legal owner of the item while he has it, provided that he returns it and he can be yaitza in that way. This is like Rava said, that if one gives his lulav to another as a gift with the condition that it be returned, if it's returned, the recipient is yaitza the mitzvah. If he doesn't return it, he's not yaitza the mitzvah. Why the Brice have to say that we will spend 1,000 zuz? Who cares how much? It teaches us how much how chavivas the mitzvah were to them, how much chaviv the mitzvahs were, how beloved the mitzvahs were to them. My bar Meimer told Rashi, my father loved the mitzvah so much that he would hold the lulav while he davened. Ah, in fact, Mara, a braisa says you're not allowed to hold something in your hand while you're davening because it distracts you. Mara says you're not allowed to hold regular items because they distract the person. However, holding an item of a mitzvah like a lulav is permitted because it doesn't distract them. A braisa says, Rabbi Lodabar Bar Tzadik says, the custom of the people of Yerushalayim was that they would carry the lulav when they left their house, when they went to shul, when they said Shema, when they davened Shemana Esrei, and when they went to go be Mevaka Choyla or to be Menachem Oval. However, when they went to learn Torah, they would send the lulav home with their sons and their servants. We see from there how careful they were with mitzvahs.